Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, We're Drunk on Theater. I'm your host, Brian Plopsky, and I miss the music. If I head that away to get in the same boat 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, then I'm thinking of him. The man is dead, I say. The woman's dead, they say. And I say, what kind of a man is in a wide open spaces in Kansas land? If he did it, it's a business, so those coffee shop nights are you the same boat completed. Joining us today are the usual show people, including Kevin, a tough act to follow, Jager.
Yes.
Kimberly, our She Did It game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Hello.
And with us today is somebody who is just very impressive. You may have seen him on Broadway, in Chicago, Curtains, Finian's Rainbow, Catch Me If You Can, Ghost, the musical, and If Then. In the West End, he starred as the original Benny and In the Heights, and in Dreamgirls as Curtis Taylor Jr. If you didn't see any of those, you can of course see him killing it on Smash. let's give a big Broadwasted welcome to friend of the show.
And
IC alum, Joe Aaron Reed.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. That was really impressive.
Like I said,
opening, how did you pull that off?
I have a lot of time.
Yeah, true. At this point, fair enough.
Yeah, right.
What's going on?
I have a Curtains poster in my apartment.
Before we start, Kevin, can you tell your curtain story?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So,
oh, is this good?
Wait, do you mean when I yelled at the people?
Wasn't that when you... Oh, whatever your... I know you have a crazy curtain story.
I do. So, curtains.
I confuse it with the honeymoon in Vegas
story. Yeah, yeah. But I know you have a crazy
curtain story. Honeymoon in Vegas was a crazy story. But curtains is a crazy story.
I love it.
So, I lived in Florida. I grew up in Florida. And I decided that I wanted to like move out of Florida and move to New York, but my parents were nervous. So they wanted me to do an audition beforehand. So I got to do, like, I signed up to do the Straw Hats auditions.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So I had like an appointment for Straw Hats, and it was a whole weekend. And the weekend it fell on was the weekend my brother, who's 2 years older than me, his birthday is 3 days before mine.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it happened to fall on a weekend that was both of our birthdays.
Like, and 2 years. Right.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years and 3 days, yes. Yeah. He's 2 years older, but like he's March 18th, I'm March 21st. So we always do our birthdays together. So my parents, for my birthday and his birthday, paid for us to go to New York City for a weekend that also included my birth, like included my audition weekend.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, you guys can have two great nights in New York, but like also Kevin has to do an audition. And so I went there and I was visiting, I saw a friend of mine and my brother took me to a bar and I went with a friend of mine from college who like we drank in college, but like she still drank when she got to New York City. So like I was hanging with her and we were like,
was it me?
marry me.
Yeah, I was like, I think everyone does that.
Yeah, I don't understand the difference.
And like, so like, we went to this, like, and my brother and I had gone to TKTS before because for my birthday, he was buying me tickets for us to see a Broadway show. Mm-hmm. And he was like, pick a show. And so like, I picked three shows and like, we just like went, like Curtains was the second on my list. And it was like, they had tickets when I got up there. So we got tickets to Curtains. And then I told my friend that's where we're going. So my friend came to the bar with us and had a poster of Curtains framed that she was like, she, you know, like those like 8x10 things you can buy at like those like,
yeah, like, of course,
on the street in like theater district. So she bought one of those because she knew I was seeing that show. So she's like, "You'll never forget this birthday. It was the birthday we drank and you saw Curtains." So I got super hammered with her and my brother. We had like 7 rounds before we went and saw Curtains.
And oh my god!
So like, all I remember is Curtains was the greatest show I'd ever seen in my life.
Was to this day
hysterical. And there were these people who were behind us who didn't like understand what was happening. Like they weren't
with you or the show. So
the show. And so they kept loudly talking to each other, explaining what was happening. And I finally turned around and I was like, I don't need your audiobook performance. And my brother was like, Kevin, what the hell? But then they were quiet. And literally I left and I was like, Curtains is the greatest Broadway experience of all time.
Oh, I haven't yelled at anyone in the theater in a while.
I know, me neither.
Oh, it was so good. They were so scared of me. Like,
oh, they're in love. Oh, they're going to get together. Yeah.
You also have to picture, I was a big man who barely fit in the seat in the balcony where I was sitting, barely turning around to yell at it was a whole thing.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I love a curtain story. Yeah.
Do you have any?
Before we...
I'm talking. Do you want to just come say hi quickly? You can come say hi quickly. You can wait.
Hi.
Okay. You want to wave quickly and then we got to talk.
Hi.
He's like, it's so bright. Okay. Like, I'll see you
so
soon.
So much ring light.
Bye. So much ring light.
God, she is a little tiny you.
Oh my god, it's like she. So they're not identical, just FYI.
Well, what are you drinking?
I'm
drinking rosé this evening.
Beautiful.
Because you know, I know it's fall now, but it's summer in my heart. You know,
California. You're also on the West Coast, so like there's no such thing as fall.
That's true. That's very true. But, yeah. I'll go with that. I like that. How are things back east? Are they good? What's happening there?
Yeah. It good. Was like in like the, so I was in the city and then I went to Maine for a week and then I came back and it was fall. It was like yeah. Overnight.
Oh, like that.
Yeah. But it like it's supposed overnight. To get to 80 this week. So really? Who knows?
It's been beautiful. Yikes. Today was a little warmer.
Yeah. It was had a nice chill, but
have you been in New York the whole time, Kim?
No, I went to Philadelphia for a little bit and then the Jersey Shore for most of the summer.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And I've been in my studio in Manhattan the entire time.
Yeah, Kevin.
You have?
Yeah.
You rock that Anastasia hoodie. you own that Anastasia hoodie.
I did.
And then, except for the time we went to Maine and whatnot, I've been in my Brooklyn apartment the whole time.
Guys, do you have roommates?
I live with my girlfriend.
Okay.
I live by myself.
Oh, man.
Oh, Kimberly's...
This is going
to be... Kimberly's husband is Jay Schmidt.
True. Oh! Hey, tell him I say hi. How's he doing?
I will. He's good. He's at work, or he'd pop on in.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, what a nice guy. Like,
part of how this connection happened was all because of Jay Schmidt.
Oh, the...
Yeah.
Because he obviously knows Brian, and then they hear.
Yes, of course.
Joe and I took dance class together.
He doesn't know Brian.
Oh, yes. Well, Joe and I,
Joe and I started in Owl Creek.
You were in Owl Creek?
He was the dance captain.
Yeah.
And I tried to get out of that so hard. I tried so hard to get out of that. Yeah. And Levi was having none of it.
Sure. A lot of people tried that move.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I tried to break my own leg, but I couldn't.
Yeah. Listen, you mean Owl Creek starring Aaron Tveit, understudied by Jeremy Jordan?
Yeah.
That is the most infamous show. Like, I feel like I have the show because I can sing the songs.
I've literally heard some of these songs.
No, Joe.
I'm dead. Stop.
I have the full poster. Joe, I found it on my hard drives. I have the entire score of someone having recorded it.
Wait, with us actually singing it?
Yeah, someone recorded a full performance of ours and somehow I have it.
Somehow I
have it.
Somehow it's in my top 10 on my iPod.
Kevin, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking red wine. I'm drinking Cabernet.
Ooh.
chilled in the freezer
because my dad told me that's how Italians drink their wine, is chilled. Now my dad's a wine connoisseur, so I do what he says. So he told me what wine bottle to buy and what to chill it for. And so I did it, and it's delicious.
Cool. Fantastic. I love that.
Kimberly?
It is nighttime here. So I have a whole pot, actually, of rooibos tea.
Ooh.
With a little bit of milk and my Tomcat gin.
Yeah,
because I have to work early in the morning, and this feels like a very good, I'm gonna go to sleep when we're done.
Love that.
Perfect. I'm trying something new. I'm trying this Dewar's, but it has a mezcal cask finish, it's a blended Scotch whiskey smoky. With a mezcal finish, a little smoky finish. I'm drinking that just on the rocks.
Do you like it?
I love it. It's really good. There's also
those two things together. But.
Neither would I. But my dad likes the Dewar's with, it's finished in like a rum cask, and it's really good. But we on the way back from Maine, we stopped at the New Hampshire liquor store, which has like everything. So I just pulled that off the shelf. I was like, okay, this one.
Love it.
Yeah. Jay says hi right back.
Yeah. Hey.
Jay, another cheers. Jay Schmidt, another star of Owl Creek.
He was in Owl Creek?
Believe.
I can't keep the story straight.
Or was Garrett? I don't remember if Jay was in Owl Creek. Anyway.
I don't think Jay was in Owl Creek.
I think Jay was, that was
oh, no. Jay was, on Jay, was in, Jay was in Our Country's Good.
Yes.
Anyway.
What? The college, I wish it were 2006 true.
Was. Can you not age us like that? Some of us were upperclassmen.
Yeah. Joe, you've had a really extensive, awesome career on both sides of a giant ocean. Let's just kind of, not into the ocean, but let's jump into it. You were over here, you played in a ton of shows, both in the ensemble and regionally and name parts and featured mm-hmm. parts in shows. I guess talk about that experience, and then kind of once you moved over there and all of a sudden, you know, you're in the Heights. Saying that is crazy.
It's hard. It's pretty difficult. It's a tongue twister, but you have to get used to it.
Yeah.
But then it just starts rolling off.
In the Heights and just, Dream Girls.
It's in a different place. In the Heights.
In the Heights. Yes.
I mean, this is just kind of like a big question, but like talk about the differences and in terms of just like your career spanning those two theater cities and what they did for you both as a performer and as just a creative person in general.
Sure. Okay. Wow. I'm going to just pour a little bit more. I'm definitely going through the whole thing.
Tell us about everything in your career in one question.
Yeah. I have a more specific question.
Yeah, go for it. What's your more specific?
What was it like bringing in the Heights to the city where it is not taking place? I feel like it must be interesting to show it to non.
In that way, it was awesome because because in the Heights is based on New York and Washington Heights, there is an expectation. Even though a lot of theater goers are not necessarily from Washington Heights, we know, you know, people know what Washington Heights is, or they, you know, they have friends that live there, they've lived there, they, you know, whatever. In London, they don't know what that is. So everything, if you just say like New York, they're just, it's all New York, you know? So you actually have a little bit of less pressure to be as kind of specific. But at the same time, of course, you want to do your due diligence and, you know, do your own work. But in that way, you had a little bit more freedom and the audience was a little bit more just ready to take in what you were ready to give. And our audiences were just fantastic. I mean, we would have people coming back 10 times, 20 times, bringing friends, bringing family. I mean, it was just a party. And the way that they did it was there was an audience on two sides of us. So it felt more like the audience was more immersed in the community as opposed to watching the community on stage. And so that was, I mean, it felt like a party. It felt like you had an entire house of people that were your neighbors. So it was awesome and they loved it. So yeah. Should I get back to the epic?
Yeah, back to career.
Well, we can reverse engineer it where it's like audiences, British audiences versus New York audiences or London audiences,
yeah.
That audiences, and then kind of let's just go with that, and then we'll keep moving back.
Okay, British audiences versus New York audiences. I think New York audiences are they're much more demanding. I mean, look, Broadway is the epicenter of theater. That's just, there's no two ways about it. I mean, the West End is amazing. It's an amazing theater town. I mean, Shakespeare, you know, like the whole like theater is in London's blood. But in terms of audiences, I find that New Yorkers are a bit more vocal with the support and but a bit more subdued if there's like a character that is, for instance, when I did Dreamgirls, I played Curtis. And, you know, Curtis isn't the nicest guy in the world. And, you know, in New York, if people didn't like Curtis, you know, they'd say something like, they wouldn't say anything really. They'd just be like, oh, you know, this guy, you know, whatever. But in London, they'll boo you. And not that you're, pardon me, not that you're bad.
That the character.
They have, not the, the character is bad. And so they have such a culture of pantomime where in pantomime culture, when there is a villain, you boo the villain. Mm-hmm. So I would do Dreamgirls and there were times I was booed in the middle of the show. There were times I was booed when I would come out for my bow. It happened a lot. And that took some major getting used to. But overall, like I find, you know, like the Brits tend to be a little bit more polite in some ways, but at the same time, they get wasted. They go see shows and they get hammered. I mean, they get hammered. And we had at Dreamgirls, we had a lot of fights break out in the house and people would be kicked out of the theater.
Really?
Yeah.
Because but at they the had same time, Kevin beforehand.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
They
exactly.
thought they were at curtains.
I don't need your audiobook. That's too much. So good. But yeah, like I find, you know, in New York at the end of a show, like pretty much everyone's going to stand. You know what I mean? Like it's going to be a standing ovation. That's just how it is. That doesn't happen as much in London. Mm-hmm. It's it happened a lot with, you know, I did In the Heights and Dreamgirls. It did happen a lot for my two shows because those are two shows that like are almost undeniable. And like they're in your bloodstream by the end of the evening. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of shows that I went to see, you know, people just, it's very polite and it is what it is. And, you know, coming from New York, that can be a bit of a downer, but you get used to it. You know, you just want to work. That's, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, you just want to work and not be booed, but, you know, you got
to. Was it crazy to do a show that was, like, not just so iconic from its original Broadway run, but also iconic from, like, a feature film that won, like, Oscars to then do a show?
It was actually, in some ways, it was awesome. I mean, because you, I mean, it's not like, oftentimes when you do shows, if there's no movie or very popular book or whatever, you know, that it's from, if it's, you know, audiences come in and they don't know what to expect. Well, with our show, everyone knows what to expect, obviously, because of the movie. Mm. And because of the movie, you have more than your average theater goer coming to see this show, which is great because it exposes people, you know, new people to theater. It, you know, it serves all those purposes. But because of that, you also, it also brings in people that don't usually go to the theater. And because of that, you end up getting a lot of fights. You end up getting people talking. You end up getting people recording on their phone. You end up getting people, like, the bad behavior of theater sure. etiquette kind of goes out the window. And so it was difficult at times, but it was awesome. I mean, I think we all felt like we were part of a legacy. I mean, I remember at one point the principals, we looked up the Wikipedia page, and there's like a graph or like a grid on the Wikipedia page of Dreamgirls. And it's like original Broadway company, this tour, that tour, the movie. And then it's like West End. And so, like, I'm in a line category with Jamie Foxx. You know what I mean? Like, I'm right, like, yeah, okay, yeah. That's cool. You know what I mean? it's those little things that you're kind of like, okay, like, I'm part of something bigger than me or this one show, which, what a project to be a part of, you know? So, yeah, that was cool to be a part of a legacy like that.
Cool. Can you talk about the difference between being involved with the Olivier's and the Tony's? Like the actual telecast.
Yeah. The Olivier's wins, man. You know, the Tony's is great. And, you know, obviously, you know, when you're an American and you grow up and you want to be on Broadway, you want to get to the Tony Awards. Who doesn't, you know? And, you know, I've been able to do the Tony Awards 3 times. And I always loved it. But then I went to London and I was like, oh, this is how you're supposed to do it. So in London, you don't have to be nominated. The show would be nominated, but you personally don't have to be nominated to go walk the red carpet.
Sure.
So everyone, ensemble members as well, walk the red carpet, talk to, you know, press, whatever, pictures, this, that, and the other. There's like a big red carpet with a lot of fans there wanting autographs and pictures and selfies and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the whole cast of all the cast are there and doing that. Everyone, all the shows are there seated at the ceremony watching. They're all, there's like the backstage area for all the shows that are performing.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in dressing rooms together. Whereas in New York, you get dressed at your theater. They bus you over to wherever, Radio City or what was the Beacon?
The Beacon.
They bus you over there. You sit on a bus until it's time for you to get out. And then you get out and then you wait. And then you go on and you do your number. And then they shuttle you back on a bus. And then you go back to the theater and you get dressed. And then you go to your own party. This is, everyone shows up looking fly as hell, walks the red carpet, goes inside. Everyone gets ready to do the show.
Mm-hmm.
People are backstage in their dressing rooms, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Everyone performs, blah, blah, blah. And then there's just a huge, massive party there for everyone.
Wow.
And it's so much more fun. It's so much more communal. And it just like, you know, Broadway, because I've, you know, been able to be in the ensemble and, you know, in the West End being the, you know, leading men, you know, I see kind of how it all works on both, you know, both sides of the ocean. And I feel like Broadway, it's so separate. Like, the Tony Awards isn't for the ensemble. The Tony Awards is about the principals. The Tony Awards is about the leads doing this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. And of course, like, the ensemble's back there dancing or doing whatever, but it's not about them. Whereas the Olivier's makes you feel like you're a part of your show and your show is a part of this community. And you walk away from that night being like, wow, like that was it. And you're all together. So your friends that are in other shows, whether they're nominated, whether they won, whether whatever, like you're there with them partying at the end of it. You know, it's not like, okay, well, if I'm going to go see my friend and then I need to leave my party and then go to their party. And then, you know, it's so much better in that respect. And of course you're, you know, the Olivias are at Royal Albert Hall. So,
yeah,
that's really, really
that's
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah. Actually the first time was at the, I forget what it was called, but it was, that was awesome too. that was like right in the theater district, which was really, really nice. And of course, like Radio City is iconic. And so there's nothing like, I think my first Tony's was, I was maybe 23. I don't know. And I mean, when you've dreamed of being on Broadway and you hope, you know, we all, you know, probably grew up watching the Tony Awards, you know, through high school, middle school, high school. I would tape. I mean, I remember I think it was 1999 with Fosse and Your Good Man, Charlie Brown. And I wore that tape out to the point where it would no longer play because I learned the choreography to Sing, Sing, Sing. And I would just watch Kristen Chenoweth just to make me laugh. Like, it was just like, that was like, you know, like I watched that. So when I finally got to be on the Tony Awards, I was like, wow, you know, it was a huge deal. But I'm glad that I've gotten to do them all, and you know, hopefully I'll get back at some point.
Sure. I mean, so when you were in New York, was it a conscious decision to try and work in the West End, or it just kind of like stuff came up and like that's where like just your next step was?
So obviously, you know, I don't know. Did you study in London when you were at school?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So I studied abroad in London, and of course, like I saw shows with Tim Kidd and, you know, the whole throwback.
More to come.
Yes, exactly. You know, so I remember being there and being like, oh, this is cool. But I never knew or thought that I would necessarily be back, certainly not on a working basis. But my husband was offered a promotion with his job. Mm-hmm. And we had decided right before the kids were born, we had decided to take the job. And then the kids were born. And then 2.5 months later, we moved. I closed If Then. And then 4 days later, we were on a plane to London. They were newborns. Guys, when I tell you, talk about wine, I moved to London. I had no friends, no family, no agent, no job. Two newborns, like, and my husband immediately started going to work. So it was just me and two kids, two babies, like fresh babies. And when I tell you, we had one of those little, those bugaboo, like double donkeys for twins, you know?
Oh yeah.
So like, I'd get like dolled up in my, like what I thought was London fashion. And I would take my little bugaboo donkey and I would like stroll down the street and I'd be like, hey, Buckingham Palace, whatever, blah, blah. And then I'd find a restaurant and I'd sit down and I would just order a bottle of wine for lunch every day. Every day. I look back on those pictures and I'm like, but you know what? That's what got me through. And then eventually we had an au pair that came and helped us. And then I was like, okay, well, if I want to book a job, then I should probably get my ass in gear. And so
cool.
I managed to do that.
Should we play a game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Love games.
You know, during this time of quarantine, what better thing to do than daydream about your next job?
Oh, I like it.
In the vein of the game MASH that you might have played in middle school, I have a game called Legacy Row.
Legacy Row. Yes.
That will pick your next show. So ROBE here stands for Regional, Off-Broadway, Broadway, or Experimental. And then I'm going to ask you for four options for two categories. So four dream co-stars.
In anything?
In anything. Just people you'd love to work with.
To work with. I'm going to say Solea Pfeiffer.
She's so good.
She's good. I met her through my friend Lisi, who I did Dreamgirls with. They're like best friends. And she's like the sweetest girl, but she's so good. Three more co-stars. Who do I want to work with?
Yeah. Or you can do two more and then Brian and Kevin can give you a wild card.
Okay. I'll do two more and then a wild card. Leslie Odom, who I love. Who else do I want to work with? Co-stars. I'm sorry. I haven't thought about work in a long time.
Well, Kevin, give us a wild card then while you're thinking.
Give me a wild card.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm leaning toward like John Lovitz or possibly like
what?
I'm picking random people that I can think of. So I'm like, John Lovitz is pretty random. And also like Mary Stuart Masterson.
Oh.
I said Mary Stuart Masterson, but why? Sure.
They might want to play work when Broadway comes back. You never know.
All right, we need one more, people. From anyone.
Dennis O'Hare.
Yes.
Ooh, good one, good one.
Yeah, he's good.
Which one was like, terrible choice, Joe.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
You mean like what you just did to my choices, you rude man?
Yeah.
Imagine it, I just saw it.
Oh my goodness. Okay, four shows you've never done.
Are there four? No, I'm joking.
Or one you'd like to repeat.
Four shows I've never done. That I'd want to do, or just four shows in general?
In general, but maybe that you'd want to do.
Okay. Wicked.
Okay.
August Osage County.
Ooh.
I would love to do Take Me Out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Dennis O'Hare.
With Dennis O'Hare, yeah. He can redo the show. I'll allow it.
He'll direct. It'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's what everyone's doing now.
Unless Brian wants to give a wild card.
Give me a wild card, Brian.
I want to see you do Mamma Mia.
Sure.
But it's like the sassy, like martini drinking friend. It's like a gender.
That's the only one I can play.
It's a gender.
In my old days, I could do Pepper with the little Russian split, but not anymore. Now I'm just the martini drinking friend.
All right. And then four random numbers.
Seven. Can they be double digit?
Yeah.
81. 14. 6,300. No, I'm joking. Two.
Okay. I'm going to have you say when.
When.
Great. And then talk amongst yourselves while I find your next job.
Sure. Gosh. If we're talking regional, I actually saw you do Ragtime at Paper Mill.
Oh, that was my first job out of college.
Oh, well, probably because I was home. I lived around the corner from that. I grew up around there. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
I know somebody in this. I will go. I think I saw you after that. It's so long ago now.
Yeah. I think you did, actually. Yeah.
Were you Cole House?
No, I was too young. I was the understudy. I was just ensemble black man in Harlem.
Was that, I don't remember, was that Quentin?
Quentin, Earl Darrington.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was great. I remember one time I almost got to go on, and he arrived like last minute, and I was like,
no! All right.
That is a dream role.
Sure.
Well, instead of that... Your next show will
going
be
a
Broadway production of Wicked, starring you and Dennis O'Hare.
Oh my
and
God.
And you will win 81 Tony Awards.
Yes. Amazing. I feel like that might win 81 Tony Awards with me and Dennis O'Hare.
Wait.
But who would you be? Cast yourself.
Which ones would you be?
Oh, I would be Glinda.
And Dennis. Yeah.
Yeah. I would be Glinda. And would Dennis be Elphaba? I don't know.
He's so like a very nervous Elphaba.
I feel like he'd be a very good Morrible.
Oh, yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I literally live for the idea of you coming down in a bubble.
Oh, 100%. I'm here for it. I'm totally here for it.
Keep all
I feel like I've got my coloratura is ready. I'm so ready. You don't even know.
Oh, amazing. Well, that was Legacy Robe.
Yay.
I love a Legacy Robe.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So let's talk a little bit about Smash.
Okay.
It's kind of been resurging lately because now Amazon has it. People have been inside. They did the concert and stuff like that. Kevin and I just recently watched it for the first time. It was one of those things where like we just never touched it and we got to not hate watch it. We got to like really enjoy it.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Loved it.
Oh, cool. Both seasons.
Yeah.
I will say season one had a stronger arc for me.
Yeah.
Like it's just because like they knew where they were going and then it seemed like season two, they were like, great, we got there. Now they want more. So where can we go?
Yeah.
But like, also, I do think that, you know, season two is a little bit more show. It is show versus show. So it's a little less, it's a little less personal. But I also can't take season two seriously because Jeremy's in it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
but I guess it's weird, but I love it. So I guess my question is, I think I saw on social media you revisit it. Like, do your kids get to watch like you like actually performing like in those numbers and stuff like that?
So you're
one of the Bombshell dancers, if I remember.
Yeah. So I haven't revisited the series per se, but I did start showing because my kids, they're at an age now where they kind of want to see what I do. And not that this is necessarily what I do anymore, because daddy's body doesn't move like that anymore. At least not that quickly, that's for sure.
Not after twins, for sure.
No, exactly. My stress marks are unbearable. So I started showing them, like, I'll pull it up on YouTube, and I'll show them, like, clips, you know, from some of the numbers that I was in. And watching it back, it was pretty amazing. I loved working on Smash. I think, especially season one. I mean, I worked more on season two. It was hard because I was, you know, they didn't want to work around Broadway show schedules. So the first season, I didn't start the season because I was finishing a Broadway show. And then I came into the season. And then season two, I was in a Broadway show and then came in again. No. Was that? I had closed a Broadway. I had, like, came into the, to each season, like, two episodes later because I was in a show. So, or maybe that was, and then, I don't know. Season one, I think I left early actually because I had started that show for, anyway. Doesn't matter. Sure, sure. But it was an amazing show. It was an amazing set to be on. Everyone was, it was great because it's theater people. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so you got to kind of feel that sense of community, but with craft services and real money. You know what I mean? Like you can't, yeah. It was unbeatable. You know, at the end of a long day, you're like, oh, my feet are hurting, but they've ordered an ice cream truck. You know what I mean? Like it didn't matter, you know? And it was great. Like,
yeah,
go ahead.
No. Continue.
No, it was a great experience. And to be able to have a show like that, that was in such a prime time slot, to be able to kind of look back on that. I'll always have those clips. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, true.
Broadway hasn't been represented like that per se on TV. And so to be able to have that, to always look back on that, that moment in time, I think is really special. And to be able to share it with my kids is really special.
Yeah. We talk about the fact that we've watched it years later for the first time, like when we're not like actively like, because I just feel like we would be watching it like a lawyer watches Law and Order, being like, well, that would never happen.
That would,
you know,
they would never leave the theater in their costumes. Like
exactly. Like, but yeah, that kind of stuff. But like, so watching it now, when like you can take one, the fact that it's reached cult status allows you to take it with more of a grain of salt. But yeah, two, and two, it just is no longer this like. Long story short, like, it's just, you don't hate watch it anymore. You're just enjoying it for what it is, because it's so far removed from everything else at this point. And it totally probably doesn't even reflect the industry the same way that it did, you know, 10 years ago, whatever it is now.
Well, right now there's no industry, so no, it doesn't.
It's definitely not reflecting the industry. But do you know what else doesn't reflect the industry? Oh, Tuesdays in the Corner with Kevin.
Kevin's Corner.
Welcome to Kevin's Corner, Joe, where I have some fun, exciting questions for you. They're very difficult and like brain taxing, so I hope you're okay.
Are you okay?
I'm good. I just love my wine is great. So today our Kevin's Corner comes from me Googling ridiculous interview questions. And this is a list of the most ridiculous interview questions you can ask in a job environment. So I'm going to pick some of these questions and force you to answer them. And at the end of the Kevin's Corner, Kimberly and Brian will vote on if you would be hired to Broadwasted Inc.
Ooh.
I'm in this game.
Okay, so question one. If you could be Batman or Robin, which would you be and why?
I would... I think I'd be Robin. I feel like I'm not into twinks.
Honestly, so, I don't need to hear any other questions. Approved.
Perfect question. All right. Question two. What would I find in your refrigerator right now?
A lot. I have a family. There's a lot. There's like bacon. There's orange juice, oat milk, regular milk, yogurt, vegan cheese, regular cheese, lots of fruit, sparkling water, wine.
See, yeah, you're good. That's, you got a full fridge. That's like literally 12 more things than I've ever had in my fridge my entire life.
I have baking soda and mustard.
baking soda and mustard and Tupperwares with the food I meal planned. And that's literally all I own. Next question. If aliens landed in front of you and in exchange for anything you desire, offered you any position on the planet, what position would you want?
Wait, say that one again.
So aliens land in front of you and offer you to give you whatever job you want in the planet, what would you take?
Queen.
Yeah.
That's pretty on brand, I'd say.
Next question is, sell me a glass of water.
I don't have any water, but I have some rosé, and it's really fucking good. You're going to want to get in on this.
That's amazing. And the last question is, using a scale of 1 to 10, rate yourself on how weird you are.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And I'm assuming for this question, 1 is like not weird. Yeah, okay. 10 is like you're weird.
I love how universal that is. Like, you're weird. I'm going to go with...
10 is like Ryan Murphy, American Horror Story character weird.
Oh.
Ooh. I'm going to say I'm probably somewhere around a 7, 8-ish.
Oh.
Yeah. I think I hide my weirdness very well. But it's pretty weird over here.
Yes. Okay. So first I'm going to turn to CEO Kimberly.
CEO.
And see what she thinks. Kimberly, was your recommendation?
Girl boss.
Yes. Would your recommendation be
to hire? Don't give Brian a higher title than me.
would we hire Joe, or would we just hold on to Joe's resume?
No, he is hired. He clearly knows the brand he is interviewing for.
And Brian, who is the janitor, who is allowed to vote because they thought it would be nice to have like an upper and a lower person of the company vote.
Sure. Like representation matters.
Yes. Yeah. Brian, yeah. Do you want to clean out Joe's trash every day?
I do. I think that he came very prepared to this interview. He was already drunk when he got here. And he answered the questions really well. And he matched his liquor to his shirt. So
that's... Yeah, I come prepared.
He is now queen.
So you are exactly. You're officially the new queen. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Queen for Kevin's Corner.
I love Kevin's Corner. Fun.
Do you, I know you've done a lot. Do you have a favorite musical? It doesn't have to be that you've done, just like.
No. I would say my general answer to that would be Ragtime, just because to me, that is such a part of who I am I've done it twice. But I also, before I ever did it, it was a part of my life, and that score is something that will always be a part of my DNA at this point. But in general, I don't like to say that I have a favorite, only because there are different musicals for different things. Different mood, different... They're something that's super dramatic can strike me in a way that something so insanely still... I mean, I told you, Kristen Chenoweth singing My New Philosophy on the Tony Awards... Me and my mother, that wore us out. Like, it was, so it's like, it just depends on where you're at the time, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
You grew up in upstate New York?
Yeah.
What, do you remember the first time you came to the city of your first Broadway show? Or do you remember like the first tour you saw that you're like, oh, I'm going to do this?
Well, what was the first musical? I think the first musical I saw was Showboat. And that was in Toronto, because being from Rochester, it was, and we were young in middle school. It was faster to go to Toronto. And I remember watching that being like, what is this? Like, I couldn't believe what I was hearing, what I was seeing, what I was feeling, like all, it was just like all of it. And so through middle school, all we did was go to Toronto. And then we went to New York during high school because we were older, obviously. Mm-hmm. I would say it was very, I wouldn't say that I had made the decision early on that this was what I was going to do, but it was never a question that this was what I was going to do. So it wasn't like, I was never like, mother, father, I'm going to be an actor. Like, it wasn't, you know, but at the same time, when I said, I want to audition for these musical theater programs and I want to go I want to be an actor. They were like, okay. Like it wasn't, it just, they knew I was good at what I did. And it was just a part of our, all of our lives at that point. It was never a real question.
Cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Did you, I don't know, is there something that you have not achieved in your career yet from just a creativity standpoint that you, you know, once things, you know, come back in whatever version they come back, is there something that you would love to tackle that you just haven't had the opportunity to yet? Like, I don't know, what would kind of be your goals when all of this comes back? Because you have such an incredible background and career on, as we mentioned, on both sides of the pond.
Oh, you're very kind. I will come back here all the time.
you're new. You're our new employee. We have to be nice.
Exactly. Bow. So what's been really great, I think, during, you know, look, there have been hundreds of thousands of deaths and during this time, which is, you know, tragic. And for those of us that have, I don't know if you guys got COVID. I haven't had COVID and my family hasn't had it. And I do know people personally that have, you know, died from it or whatever. You know, I think that for those of us that have been lucky enough to not get sick, I've tried to use this time for reflection. And because of that, I've been able to work on the third draft of I wrote a feature film, hopefully starring me, a feature film. Although I did, you know, I have been asked by a couple of people, they're like, so, you know, if it came up that, you know, producers wanted to make this movie, but they didn't want you to be the star of it, would you be able to sell it? Would you feel like you would want it to go on? And I got to the place where I was like, yeah, because I feel like the story needs to be told.
Sure.
Awesome.
And so I'm in a place now where, you know, of course I would love to start kind of racking up some really great television credits and film credits. Mm-hmm. But I think my kind of pet project, is this film is really kind of seeing it through to its creation. Cool. Because, you know, when you start off as an ensemble member in Broadway shows, you kind of think that might just be, that's what it is, you know? And for a long time, I was very happy with what it was until I wasn't, until I decided that I wanted something more. I wasn't fulfilled in the way that I had been prior, which then luckily led me to London, which led me to playing, you know, leading men in two original shows there. And, you know, so that has been incredible. And I feel very grateful for that. But now I do feel a little bit more like, as much as I want to do as an actor, and there's a plethora of that, I would also like to really start to hone my voice as a writer, and writing for myself and writing for others.
Sure. Yes. You're in the perfect place for that.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. This is, I mean, one of the main reasons why we moved to LA was because, this is the land of film and television. And, I felt like I could always move back to New York. It would have been easy, I think, in a way, because theater is obviously my background, my backbone. But I didn't want it to be something that I was like, oh, okay, I want to do film and TV. And then, yeah, but this show just called and they just want me to do it. And I'm just like, okay, well, I need a job in it. You know, it's too easy to fall back into what's easy. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to push myself. And so this year, you know, it's been difficult. You know, when I moved to New York, I had already moved to New York with the paper mill Ragtime job booked. So I graduated Sunday morning, moved to New York Sunday night, started rehearsals the next day for Paper Mill. When I moved to London, 2 months after I moved to London, I had booked Benny and In the Heights. So it was always so easy. And in LA, a lot of it is who you know, it's the circles that you know. And so I don't want to say it's been a struggle because it's been longer than I anticipated. And at the same time, I have grown into a different person that is approaching life and this industry and my career in a very different way than I was before.
Cool.
So I'm really kind of looking forward to when this is all done, what that's going to be. But until it's all done, I want to utilize every second that I can doing the things that I want to do.
That's awesome. Cool. Should we play another game?
Yes, please.
Let's do it. I'm here for it.
Since we are in two different time zones.
Oh, yeah.
I have a game called Time Difference.
Ooh.
So I have all of our Lights of Broadway show cards. These are just the shows from the deck.
Okay.
And so one at a time, you'll pick a show from the deck. I'll sort of guide you to pick one. And then explain to me how you might put that show in a different time period.
Okay. This is interesting. This could be very difficult at the same time.
We'll see. Brian, do you want to go first?
Do you give us the time period or we just get to pick one?
Pick one.
I love that.
Ready, Brian?
Yeah.
Where in the deck do you think?
In the middle.
Okay.
Right in the middle.
These ones?
That one.
A little night music.
A little night music. So the time period is going to be in the morning.
Okay.
I think that you update it to today. I think you make it contemporary and you just, instead of like, I think you just move it into the current like economic situations that some people can be in. And I think you make it a reflection of that instead of the aristocracy or whatever, like what that is in that time period.
A weekend in the Hamptons instead of a weekend in the country or something.
Exactly. Like Hamptons or Cape Cod, however you're setting it like that, like or Nantucket, you're making it a little bit more contemporary and you're showing a reflection of today's society within those themes and songs. And I don't think it's...
Clowns is about Trump? Or? Well,
I was going to add...
No, it's about the Joker. Didn't you see the Joker where they all knew the song on the subway? Yeah,
exactly.
I was so going to add... Come on.
Those Wall Street bros did not know every line to present in the clown. Anyway, sorry, tangent.
Can you imagine if they did it contemporary, Send in the Clowns, where Desiree was actually like a drag performer, and it was like a story of like a man who like couldn't admit to his wife that he was having an affair with a man who's a drag performer. So it's a drag performer singing Send in the Clowns. Like how brilliant would that be?
Kevin gets to punch up all of our scripts.
To be fair, I don't know night music really that well, so I was just I was just winging it, my friend.
I just feel like that would be
that's not what it's about, but like,
that could be so incredible to make that. Oh, that would be amazing.
All right, Kevin, then it's your turn.
Okay, I'm ready.
Where would you
let's go to like the back third of the deck.
Okay, like here-ish.
That's perfect. I mean, that's the last part of the deck, but yes.
Dear Evan Hansen.
Okay, so I think Dear Evan Hansen would be really interesting to set in so we set it in like the barricade French Revolution times, and Evan Hansen is somebody who says that like he like lies that he has like this connection to like Lamarck, who's dead, the general that like all the people knew, so he starts like giving all these edicts that like General Lamarck wrote to him that he never actually got. So I'm kind of just combining Les Mis and Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Okay, we'll take it.
But that's what I would set it in that time period and make it about him like trying to like tell everyone what to do because he's best friends with General Lamarck who died, but he swears they're best friends.
And they've never met.
Right.
Great. All right, Joe, your turn. Where in the deck?
Wherever.
Okay. The prom.
I don't know the prom.
Do you want to pick another one?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's about like what it's like lesbians at a prom.
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's Ooh, actually, we could keep the prom, I guess.
Okay.
We could. Let's let's set it. Let's take the prom and put it in like the, what is it, like the '70s when Carrie came out.
Yeah.
And we can have a little bit of pig's blood at the lesbian prom.
Yes.
How do we feel about that? And like, and instead of like a really supportive teachers, they have like a crazy mother.
Oh my God, I'm upset.
I mean, great. There are some crazy moms in that. That's great.
Yeah, that's.
Well, great. I think maybe it would have lasted longer.
Yeah, you add a little pig's blood and your show. Well. Well, you can't, it can't Carrie be Carrie.
Long, so.
Yeah, it can't be Carrie. But if it's yeah,
maybe Carrie needed a little more happiness from the prom, and that's
exactly what that's what it is. Kimberly,
yeah,
what are you picking from? What part?
I don't know. In here-ish. Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
Interesting. You might have to change the title.
We'll call it Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet and the Great COVID of 2020.
Yeah.
Great.
It is a musical that you watch on your phone via TikTok. And just like TikTok for the day is just an immersive musical. And you can choose to follow whichever character you want. And maybe sometimes they'll collab.
I mean, if anything sounds like Ars Nova, Whoa. It's exactly what you described.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They just like create their, Ars Nova creates their own app that looks like TikTok. And performs from home.
Cool.
And yeah, and I do not really know the plot of Natasha Pierre, so that's all.
That's like the future of theater right there.
I know, right?
I'm obsessed with that.
Gotta be the future of theater.
This was a fun game, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like this.
Time difference. That's it.
This is a segment that we sometimes do, Joe. It's stage door stories.
Stage door stories.
Do you have any that you...
I love talking about stage door, like differences between New York and London, too.
Yeah, if you want to talk a little about the difference there, and if you have a very New York stage door experience, and if you have a very London stage door experience...
Let's see. Wow, I'm feeling this wine. I will
Or just the general aesthetic of both of those?
Well, I would say that like stage doors are a bigger thing in New York than they are in London. Although they are a thing in London, they're just not as prominent. But I'll never forget when I was when I was doing Ghost the Musical. I came out and Divine. So she was playing the Whoopi Goldberg character, right? And mm-hmm. So I walked out the stage door after a matinee, and this little girl, she just saw my skin, and she was very excited because she thought it was Divine. And she was like, ah! And I was like, hi, and she goes, aw. And I was like, and her mom was like, you can't do that. And I was like, it's fine. I knew she was there for Divine, but it was, you know, it's one of those things like it's different when you're in the ensemble, because not everyone wants you to sign their playbill, or which can be kind of awkward at times. So oftentimes you'll find on at least when I was in New York, you'll find a lot of times ensemble members will just skip the line altogether because they just want to get home and people aren't necessarily wanting them, because there's nothing worse than when you go to sign someone's playbill and they pull it away.
Mm.
Because it's really awkward then, because it's like, I went for it because I'm in the show and you seem to be standing here because you want signatures, but apparently you don't want mine, which makes me feel great. And I'm just going to go. So it can be very kind of awkward. So a lot of ensemble members will kind of, you know, blow the popsicle stand. In London, it's not as big of a thing, although we did get like, you know, we had Amber Riley, so sure. Doing Dreamgirls. Even in the Heights, we did have some people that would wait around. But with Amber, we had more, obviously. But it's just not as big of a thing. I mean, I remember doing If Then with Idina Menzel, And that stage door was like insanity. I mean, it was like you would look out your dressing room window and just be like, that's a mob. That's, you know, that's not normal, you know? But at that point, I think like Frozen had just come out. So it was like a huge, I mean, of course she had was Elphaba and all that, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, like it, she was like very in the, you know, and Adele Dazeem had just happened. That whole
thing. In the zeitgeist.
Yeah. So like everyone was there. And I would say with it then, like that was kind of like a cool experience because I felt like, because in a show like that where it was, everyone had like parts, it wasn't just like, I'm tree number two, you know? So people really, you know, wanted our signatures. So that was a kind of a different kind of situation. I would say in London, it's not as big of a thing.
Sure.
But still some people do come, you know,
cool.
And I will say being a leading man in London, it can get creepy at times because look, you're doing 8 shows a week, right? People know where you are eight times a week. They know when you're done with work. They know where you work. They know what door you're going to exit out of, and they will search for you.
Yeah.
And so that can be kind of creepy at times. Like I did find myself occasionally like checking to see if, you know, certain people were there, and if they weren't, then I would like lead through a different door to try and, because, you know.
Sure. Well, with that, with stage door stories, that brings us to the end of our episode.
Oh, wow. So quick.
That was fast.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're busy there with your kids, so you're in a different time zone, as we mentioned. So really thank you for kind of taking the time, carving it out for us. And we'll be seeing you every week, as you are now an employee of Broadway.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait till next week, guys.
Yeah, yeah. you can follow Joe at Joe Aaron Reed on social media. You can follow us at Broad Wasted. You can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, all that fun stuff, Facebook group. And then you can also find us on things like Spotify and iTunes. You can rate and review us there. Five stars, please.
Thank you.
But
I wasn't following you. I just followed you.
Oh, yay.
And then we always end it with a quote. And today is the smile I had has gone away. Those that steal are going to pay. Step into the bad side today. That was... thank you so much for joining us. But we end every episode by raising our glasses.
Oh, yeah. I literally just went to get my teapot.
Oh, and we say, Zoo-doo-wop.
Cheers.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.